Chris Lorton here, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, I got a good voice. You've heard this voice a lot on Sundays on our local vocal show. Dustin Coleman. Welcome, Dustin.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris. Glad to be here.
Dustin Coleman, singer, songwriter, and you told me you did 240 shows this year.
That's right.
240. Woo, you're on the road. Now, Dustin, where'd you grow up at?
I grew up a little town in Missouri, Cadet, Missouri.
Cadet, yeah.
About 2 hours from here.
How little was it?
We got a post office.
Sounds like maybe like Kane.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Where are you living now?
Back there.
You went back home?
Moved back home. And we built in 2020.
Yeah.
Same area, same property I grew up on. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're married?
Married.
And you got children?
Yeah, we got some children. We got an 11-year-old boy and then twin girls that are 3.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you had those little girls.
Yeah.
That was exciting. We've known each other for, I don't know, maybe 8 years.
It's been a minute.
Like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
You were playing at Fast Eddie's regularly.
Yeah.
One night a week and I got wind of it and I got you coming in at George's as often as I could get you because you'd be booked up for forever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What? And you're back home. You're traveling. Do a lot of traveling.
A lot of traveling. Yeah. I'd rather. It's real secluded down there, and you know, it's just it's home to me. So I'd rather, you know, live down there and do the driving. I don't mind the driving, and I get to do you know what I love for a living. So,
what's your wife's name?
JC.
JC.
Yes.
Do you know her for a long time? She from the same town.
Same town. Grew up near from you know from little kids and.
How about your children? What are their names?
Mabry and McKenna and Colt.
Colt.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good name. Colt.
Yeah. He's something else. He just started playing basketball this year, so.
He's a good athlete, is he?
He's getting into it. It took him a minute to, you know, figure out what he wanted to do, but I think he's liking this so far.
Yeah. Before we get into the songs and songwriting and everything that you do, I know you've got a backstory, and I don't even know. I don't know the backstory. I know it's. I know I've heard people say, "Oh yeah, he's got a heck of a story." I don't know it. You've never told it to me, but I'm going to ask you to kind of fill me in on that.
I don't know if we got enough time, Chris. I guess.
Points. Were you into music since you were a kid?
Yeah, so I started playing when I was 12.
Okay.
My grandpa taught me to play. Him and my great uncles all had a band. And then it was just kind of a family tradition deal. And one of my great uncles ended up passing, and I just got to thinking. I was like, man, I want to carry that on, you know. So I started going to my grandpa's every Tuesday for guitar lessons.
Yeah.
And then we had our local Casey Hall down there. I started playing there when I was probably 15. They had a group of guys, older guys, get together on Thursdays and play. And so my grandpa was into older country. Those guys into traditional country and all that too. So that's what I initially learned and then kind of went from there. And started playing out probably 16, whenever I could start driving or playing, you know. And I was playing local. I started working also when I was 14.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted.
Now, did you have many brothers and sisters?
Or I had a younger brother.
Younger brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, 14, I started working. And then I just kind of had that in me to want to grow up fast. You know, like me and my brother is 4 years different. So we're closer now than we ever were, you know. And we got a good thing going now. But yeah, so. I just started making some decisions, you know, and it was all about work and money and then music and then being in bars and started making some bad decisions. And then.
Well, you weren't drinking right in the bars, were you?
I was drinking around the bars.
Around the bars.
Yes.
And when you were like young kid, like 15 or something?
Yeah, I probably started in. So I started using things probably at 14, 15. Yeah. And then, and drinking, then it went to other things, just kind of the whole thing. And then I ended up on some pretty hard stuff. And I had met some people through music and everything. And
is that how it happened, though, that you got using drugs was through music?
I wouldn't say through music. I feel from being a little kid, I always had something like the drugs to me was a solution, you know, because I always felt different.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so that was just, it was accessible at that point, you know. Uh-huh. I think music's, you know, been a big part in saving my life. You know, okay. Music's been my buddy through the whole thing. I've always had it, you know, to fall back on.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't say, you know, it wasn't the music. It was my own trying to find a way to deal with, you know, just internal feelings and stuff.
Okay.
But so I ended up, like I said, I met some people through music, and I played a place every Friday. I did like a happy hour deal, and they'd have bands come in after that. And there was a band from over here, Whiskey Dixon.
Yeah.
And they had played, I had opened up, they were playing after me. I talked to them, and then their local or their singer played music for a living. And I was like, man, that's ideal.
That's what I wanted to do,
you know. So I ended up getting a hold of him on Facebook after that, just Messenger, and he's like, you know, my best advice be if you got into St. Louis area, there's just a lot more opportunity for gigs and all that stuff. And after that, my life just kind of took its own turn. And like
how
I said,
old were you
when I met them? I was probably I don't know, 17, 18, probably. Okay.
Did you finish high school?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I graduated high school. I graduated from Potosi High School. And uh-huh. then, just jumped into work, construction, and working in the union, residential framer and stuff like that. And,
okay.
And then music was always part of it. You know, I just never was able to fully commit to full-time, you know, then. And then I started getting pretty deep in my addiction. And then in January of 2015, I got busted.
You did?
Yeah. And was basically had a 14, 15-year backup is what I was looking at if I messed up. And I was able to.
You were on parole then?
I was on probation for, it was a five-year SIS. So basically, if I completed the probation, I was never convicted or anything like that. I walked it down 2.5 years, started doing the right things.
Yeah.
Going to meetings, went to rehab, lived in a sober living house.
How old were you when you got busted?
When I got clean, I was 22.
Okay, so when you got busted, that's when you decided, hey, I'm getting clean. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I'd been in rehab a time or two before that and just got out and went back to the same stuff. It's kind of a weird thing. It's like you're not ready till you're ready.
Yeah.
And I was ready then. And I was just, I didn't know the way out. I didn't want to ask for help again because I had let them down the first time, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a relief to me.
Yeah.
Getting arrested that night, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was 24 hours of laying on concrete in the jail kind of made me reevaluate things, you know.
What did you get busted? I mean, what was that like? I mean, what happened?
I was pretty out of it. I mean, I had, just had some bad stuff on me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that at a local jail?
Yeah, it was in Farmington or St. Francis County. Okay. I got busted for going like 10 over the speed limit or something.
You got pulled over and you were messed up.
Oh yeah.
And then they
did some 20, searching and
24 hours on the concrete. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the other part of the story. So the place that I met Whiskey Dixon was owned by a bail bondsman.
By who?
By a bail bondsman down there.
Oh, bail bondsman.
He was a bail bondsman, and then he had bought this bar that I play music at. Well, somebody got a hold of him. He caught wind that I was in jail. And
yeah.
He come in there and told me how he felt about me being there.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, it was the first time somebody told me I had a problem and I believed them.
Yeah.
You know, I was in denial before that. And like I said, I just had it in me. I was ready at that time. So fast forward, you know, my parents and all that helped me out, got me in rehab again. And then I got into sober living and I was living in St. Louis, like Virginia Avenue, St. Louis. Like, that's where the sober living was.
Okay.
Complete culture shock to me, you know, living in a country my whole life and then going there. And it was, that was some of the best times of my life. You
really?
Know? Yeah, just completely different, you know?
Hey, if you're just tuning in, I have Dustin Coleman with me, singer-songwriter, been playing in this area for many years, and got him in the studio. So you were, was it like a halfway house that you were living
in? Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. So you got like, I don't remember, 10 guys, something like that. You all bunk up two to a room, and you got curfew, you got random tests. You know, just kind of keep you in
line.
Did
you have a job then, though? Did you go out and work every day?
I was just doing kind of side stuff. I knew a couple people up there, and then going to a lot of meetings. Like the recovery community in St. Louis is huge, you know, yeah, compared to where I'm at now or whatever. There's just, if you want a meeting, there's all day, every day, and
okay,
and lots of people with lots of time,
and it's a good place to go to recover.
I would say so, just yeah, because of the diversity. I mean, drugs are going to follow you, no matter where you go.
I mean, we have issues with people on drugs here, you know, I mean, and they get busted, et cetera. But do you think it's easier than in St. Louis than here, like in a small community, to get cleaned up?
I think there's so many more people. Just, I think the size, I think it takes these smaller communities, just like the one I live in, you know, longer to catch on, you know. I don't really know it just isn't the exposure to the recovery side of it. And like for me, you know, like a lot of my family, you know, like my great uncles and stuff, I heard stories that they all did this or that, you know, just kind of not normal.
Hard to get away from it.
Yeah. So
you got in St. Louis. And then did you start playing music
there? Yeah, so that's when I was like, I got to figure out what I want to do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I feel like this is my second chance, you know. I was like, what do I got to lose at this point? You know, I might as well try to give music a shot. So I ended up looking up the lead singer from Whiskey Dixon on Facebook again.
Okay.
They were playing a half hour away. I got my sponsor, the guy that was running the house. We went to O'Fallon and watch them play music, and I reintroduced myself, and he's like, you want to get up and play? I was like, sure. So I sang a song or two, and he's like, man, you know, we just reconnected. And
okay,
his name's Brian Davison, man. He's helped me out. He got me started playing over here and just took me under his wing, and wherever he'd get me in, you know, we go play shows together, or he, you know, spread my name here or there, and started playing, and then it just kind of grew from there, you know, word of mouth. And
how was it playing at, or how long did you play at Fast Eddie's? Do you still play there?
Still had our every other. I think we're changing up, you know, I'll still be there some next year, but yeah, been every other, or once a week, yeah, for the last probably 8 or 9 years, 9 years. Yeah.
What night were you playing?
We did Monday and Wednesday. We alternate.
Alternated.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other places have you played at, as far as like that would people know about?
Man,
any big places?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. I'm horrible with this, you know. Yeah. I'm horrible with the areas too. If I didn't have maps on my phone, I'd be lost all the time, you know.
But just mainly smaller venues, medium-sized venues.
Yeah pretty much the restaurant, the bar style kind of thing, and you know.
And how big an area do you cover?
Try to keep it within an hour and a half of the house.
Okay.
So
is this playing in this area, like in Jerseyville? Was that farthest away you'd go usually?
Yeah. Yeah. I try to keep it within that circle. You know, so it covers like, I got Bethalto tonight. I got Edwardsville coming up, all the way to, I played in like Darty and Prairie, Missouri earlier this week. So.
As an entertainer, you always, you know, you got the bug for it. When you get up on stage and you get ready to kick off, are you just like in automatic? Does it just go automatic for you? How do you remember all those words to all those songs?
That's one of my biggest fears.
You just make something up of your head or what?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, or do you use like something?
I do have to have it there if I need to, yeah. Okay. A lot of them, yeah, I just, for now, can remember them, you know. And I think I've been doing it long enough. You it's just kind of natural.
You get a little, you get a rush, or what brings you to want to entertain?
It's always just been an outlet, you know, and connecting with people. And I don't know, it's kind of just magic, really. Yeah. The only way you can explain music. So, yeah, it's always been my thing. It's been my passion for a while, and glad to be able to do it.
Do you see yourself continuing on for till you die?
As long as it stays, you know, a passion to me, yeah, you know.
I mean, how old are you now?
I'm 32.
You're young.
Yeah.
You're really young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have hopes of going down to Nashville?
We'll see. I think if I wanted to go any further with it, it'd be in the songwriter avenue.
Yeah.
You know, the dreams of being an artist or whatever isn't really my thing anymore. You know, I like being a family guy and, you know, being able to be home every, you know, at least I'm gone, you know, in the evenings, but at least I stay in my bed and get up in the mornings with the girls and the boy gets on the bus. And,
yeah.
I'm still around, you know.
Right. You're a family man.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot easier to be a family man as a songwriter,
I would say,
than an entertainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about songwriting.
That's it. Okay.
Let's tell me how you write songs. What is the procedure?
I still don't have it figured out.
You don't?
No, I'm one of those guys. I wish I knew. I'm one of those guys, I won't write for months. I don't know the last time I wrote a song. It's been months.
How many songs have you wrote? Just get.
I've released at least 13 or more. Yeah, maybe more. I probably wrote, I don't know, probably 50 or something like that.
Yeah. Does the words come first or the melody?
Depends, a little both. Just depends on the song. They're all different. I've had some I'll just get an idea and I'll put it in my phone and go back to it later. I've had others where I'm on my way to Georgia's in Jerseyville, you know, yeah, talking to my phone or singing or whatever. And
is that how it goes? You use your phone to record it?
I got a lot of voice recordings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not very technical, so typing it up ain't my best option, you know.
I guess. Of the songs that you've written, what are some of your favorites?
I think they all got, you know, their own thing. Little Know-It-All, I wrote about our boy.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that's a classic song.
It was a cool time. I was getting ready to go pick him up from school.
Yeah.
He was four. And okay. I'm just getting ready to walk out the door and it kind of hit me and I was like, I got to write this now.
Yeah. And actually the song is what happened.
Yeah.
Is the song is about you and your relationship with him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, like Maybe It's You. That's a big one.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people tend to like that one.
Yeah, that's a cool song.
Take It Easy on Me. That one goes pretty good. I got one. I wrote about the girls. I haven't released yet, so hopefully do a little recording here soon. So I got that. I got probably four or five of them ready to go. So hopefully I'll hit the studio here. Maybe this winter. I don't want to make no promises, but
where do you usually record?
I've done recording. Usually if I'm going to just release, you know, some songs real quick, I'll go. I got a guy, Joe Domingos out of Belleville is where we usually record. Uh-huh. Usually that's where I do like the acoustic singer-songwriter kind of releases. And then we've also done some full band stuff where Whiskey Dixon was my band on it.
Uh-huh.
Which we also recorded with Joe. And then I recorded in Nashville with Session Guys, too, which was a cool experience. So
yeah, I've heard that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Explain that. Explain that you go down and record in Nashville. You set up a time, go in the studio.
Where I went to and what I didn't realize, a lot of these studios are like old houses.
Yeah, I didn't know
that. Like in a neighborhood or something. Like I recorded in Franklin. And it was just like you're driving through a neighborhood, and then all of a sudden, here's this recording studio.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, where do I go? That bedroom? Or, you know, it wasn't that crazy, but, you know, it's not a big, the ones I use aren't big, elaborate
now
studios, you would think.
But. Now, this studio you're talking about, like down in Nashville, they'll have a drummer, a guitar player, a bass, fiddle. They have all these guys ready to play.
Yeah.
And you throw your music at them.
And, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And
so
all of a sudden, they just boom. You come together and you put it together.
Yeah. So I went through this entertainment, whatever. He set it all up and had the guys in there. So I think the drummer was the current Lee Greenwood's drummer.
Really?
They all had their claim to fame. You know, yeah. One to play with Al Dean. I can't remember all the other, but
really?
They all. It's kind of like a. Nashville's big, but it's also a tight-knit community. So when these guys, you know, they're off the road, they'll go do this, you know.
Make some money
on the side. In a way, they'll just sit there and listen to it. They'll all sit in like a circle, and yeah. They'll take out a piece of paper, and they'll write numbers. They got the Nashville numbering system. I don't know it.
Okay.
I don't know how to read music or nothing like that, but they all write some numbers on there, like, hey, we're going to turn this around here, and blah, blah, blah. And then they just play it. It's just like. It was an awesome experience for sure.
Do they play the melody first and then you listen to that and then you do your vocals?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it went. I know I got in on and did like a live vocal while they were playing it at one point, and then I went back and did, you know, finish up vocals over the top of it. So,
you know, I put together a studio here and we've did a few recordings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, we're just kind of getting started in it, but we wanted to be able to record for the local vocal show,
right.
You know, we
yeah,
wanted to be
awesome.
Able to record our locals here, you
yeah.
know, so, and if you're listening out there and you've got a song that, you know, you want to record, we can do it here at WJBM. So, anyway,
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear some stuff come out of there.
Yeah. I am too. We got a few things scheduled coming
awesome.
Up. After the holidays, some people are coming in. So.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Well, Dustin, believe it or not, we've ran out of time. And I know you got to go to a gig right now.
Yeah.
So you've got to get going. But any last words of wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners out there about music? Anybody that's maybe thinking about getting into music or... maybe they dabble in music, just a suggestion for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, if you love it, do it. I mean, learning an instrument ain't the easiest thing, but I think if you got that passion for it and the drive and you actually learn it, you know, it's something that you'll have for the rest of your life. And like I said, it's been my best friend through some of my darkest times to sit down with a guitar and sing a song, you know. So, yeah, stick with it, man.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.